Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Carrie. I'm Carrie Lazat, your Director of Cable and Community Relations here in Bloomfield Township. And this show is to talk to the people that are out and about in our community who are making it a wonderful place to work and to live. And today I am delighted to welcome our recently appointed new treasurer, Michael Shostak. Welcome.
Hi, Carrie. Good to be with you.
Good to see you, and congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you.
But you've been around the township for many years prior to that. And also, I should mention that your Wharton School Finance undergraduate degree, which is pretty impressive. I heard good things about that school, and also U of M Business School.
Yep.
So you've got a pretty decent pedigree for this particular job, and you also taught finance at Wayne State, which is super cool. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about that.
Sure.
But I also want to mention to people that if you want more details on, I guess, more of the business perspective, you did a show with us recently. One of our community producers did Eye on Oakland, Chuck Moss. You talked to him.
Now,
he's a Birmingham resident, so we'll get a more personal view of your.
But he takes a holistic view of the county and
he does.
Specifically the Birmingham Bloomfield area.
He does, yeah. So tell me, how long have you lived in Bloomfield Township, and what has your relationship been with the township?
Yeah, so I moved to Bloomfield Township 15 years ago. After I returned from New York, I had been in New York for several years. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was in Washington, D.C., and before that, in Philadelphia, as you
mentioned. You're like, I want to go home.
In college.
Did you grow up here?
I did. I grew up not far from here in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Cranbrook, and, coming out of high school, I really wanted to experience something outside of Michigan, and luckily was accepted to Penn, like you mentioned. And got a business degree. From there, I went to Washington, D.C., where I worked as a government consultant, most of that time at the Pentagon, doing basically business analysis, policy analysis, capital budgeting for various arms of the Defense Department and intelligence community.
Pentagon is a huge building.
It is.
It is massive.
Yes.
So did you get all your steps in all the time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So, and it was real special. You know, as I talked about a couple weeks ago on the 9/11 anniversary, I wasn't there on 9/11. I was there on the 9/11 anniversary. So the first one in 2002, after they had completely rebuilt the part of the Pentagon that was damaged. So that was a real special opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. After that, I went back to business school, got my MBA, and then went to Wall Street and worked at Lehman Brothers for 3 years. From 2005 to 2008, and at that point got married and, decided to start a family, and New York City is just not well-suited for that, shall we say.
And you have to be, super wealthy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
it seems like you need a lot of money for private school and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so we decided to move here, and so we came to the township 15 years ago. I've loved it ever since. I went to Cranbrook, so obviously I was very familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, one of the things that attracted me to it is its real central location within Oakland County.
Yeah.
In 5 to 10 minutes, you could be in Birmingham. 5 to 10 minutes, you could be in West Bloomfield, Novi, all those places. And freeway access, which worked out well when I was teaching at Wayne State, be able to shoot downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the location, the community, the look and feel of the trees and, the nature that we have. We have our beautiful nature center up on Franklin Road. The schools are obviously a huge selling point. And just, the stability of the government here and, it's just really well managed.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved in 2015. Looking at, I'd always wanted to pursue public service as something, especially after working in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Although if you had told me at that point it would have been a local government, I might have laughed. But, I got involved. I started coming to meetings, learned about what was going on, the issues. And in 2016, I ran and, was very fortunate to be elected. And I thank the community for putting their trust in me. And so from 2016 to this year, I've been a trustee. I was reelected in 2020. And, Brian Keeps, who is our previous treasurer, he has been involved with the township for 30 years mm-hmm. on various committees before becoming a trustee and then becoming treasurer. He just decided that now is the right time for him to step away and retire. He's got to, you know, spend some time in Florida, spend some time with grandkids, things like that. So he did a great job in this role. I have big shoes to fill. He's been a mentor to me since I joined the board back in 2016. And so luckily, you know, it fit that where I was in my career that, you know, it made sense to you know, take this position, what it was offered to me, and I'm very pleased to do so.
And it's a real job now. So, like, when you're a trustee, you kind of just, I don't want to say you just, but you attend meetings and you vote on everything, and you have to prepare for that. Yeah. But that's not like a regular a regular job where you have to come into an office and supervise people and really have your hands on the everyday workings of what's going on.
100%, 100%. I mean, being a trustee was very exciting because, you know, you're asked to vote and learn about all these different projects and things going on within the community and how the government works, approving the budget, you know. And so I found it to be, you know, very interesting. And that's why, you know, I ran again in 2020 to keep up doing that. But yes, you're right, that the treasurer position is one of the three administrative offices, being with the supervisor and the clerk. It's a full-time job. We manage a staff. You know, the Treasury Department is responsible for collecting every dollar that comes into the township, whether that's a tax payment, a water payment, a permit, you know, you name it. Like, we collect it, and we're responsible for collecting it, accounting for it, and investing it. Mm-hmm. And so,
which is the biggest part? I think probably the investing feels like the most responsibility, I would imagine, because it's the most money involved.
Yeah,
collectively.
Well, I mean, each mm-hmm. aspect of it has certain, you know, complexities and responsibilities. You know, when we've got cash drawers, we're collecting cash from people, checks, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that things get taken in and accounted for properly, and you know, going through the water bill process every month, we're collecting, you know, water payments from people and dealing with issues that come up on the bill for people in their, you know, in their various situations. Taxes, you know, twice a year we collect it in from July 1 through September 14th, and then from December 1 through February 14th. So we have those two, the summer and the winter tax. So that, you know, that has some complexities there. We got to make sure we, again, account for it, track it, and get it to where it needs to go, most of the time into the bank account. And then from once it's there, then, you know, sort of my responsibility is to make sure that that's invested properly. We want to not lose money. We want to get, you know, as much return on our investments as we can. Yeah. So there's the operating funds that need investing. And then I also manage the defined benefit pension plan and our retiree healthcare plan. And those are two different animals, very different from operating funds. Each of them has laws and regulations that, you know, dictate that.
I have to ask. So I feel like if I was making a movie about you know, a day in the life, and when you're talking about these investments, do you come in first thing and you, like, look at what the market is doing and where all the investments are? Is that part of your daily routine?
Yes.
Yeah. So what kind of like gets you excited, or when are you worried, and like how does I guess world events, how does it affect like what you're thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that I think about. One is, you know, we have a portfolio for our operating reserves that's mostly treasury bills, you know, government bonds. You know, the FOMC meeting last week and the interest rates, they decided to keep interest rates where they are. Mm-hmm. There's a talk that at the next meeting they're going to raise them again because the economy is still showing signs of strength and they want to try to tamp down inflation. So if rates go up, how does that affect our portfolio? Mm-hmm. But then again, they're also talking about that in 2024, rates are going to come back down. And so as rates fall, are we positioned to make sure that, you know, we're capturing as much upside for as long as we can? And so, you know, there's a difference if I lock in a rate for 6 months or 2 years, you know, and each one is a different price and a different yield. And you want to make sure that you're getting the best, you know, bang for your buck, but also managing the liquidity of the portfolio so that if we ever needed a cash, if God forbid there was some kind of disaster and we needed that money, we have it. The pension plan, which has been closed since 2005. So unless you're an employee from before 2005, you don't have that. So we still manage that. We have a lot of retirees. And we have both an equities portfolio and a fixed income portfolio to manage the cash flow of that plan. And so we just, you know, we need, again, in that sense, when I'm looking at an equity portfolio, it's, you know, where do we see the market going? Where's the strength going to be? Are we diversified enough? You know, we have large cap stocks, small cap stocks, international stocks, some real estate funds that we've added to the mix. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're widely diversified enough to make sure that if we do end up in recession next year, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that we can weather that storm.
You can't look into your crystal
ball.
No. And let us know.
No. When I was at Wharton, there's a very mm-hmm. famous professor there, Jeremy Siegel, who would always start his class with a market update. And everybody knew that when he did his class and he did the market update, he would let you come in and listen. So the room would get packed with people who just wanted to listen because he's on CNBC all the time.
Yeah.
And so he would come in, he would give his market update and where mm-hmm. he sees going and everything. And like the room would be packed. And then as soon as he was done and ready to start on the day's material, the rest of the people would leave.
And then they go make their trades.
And they go make their trades, right? So yeah. it was really amazing. Mm-hmm. That's part of the job, you know, as the mm-hmm. kind of chief investment officer to make sure that we're managing the assets well with, you know, safety in mind, mm-hmm. liquidity in mind, but at the same time trying to get a good return and, you know, because that all makes sure that we stay funded and, you know, that's the goal. We've got to make sure that those mm-hmm. those funds are there for the retirees when they get them when they earn them.
So you think you'll go back to teaching? You'll teach finance someday?
So what I would say about that is that the politics in Bloomfield Township or the politics in local government mm-hmm. doesn't even hold a candle to the politics in academia.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So I was...
What are you fighting over?
Yes. So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you think the politics between Democrats and Republicans, mm-hmm. local government and state government, county government, that's nothing compared to academia.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I don't think I would go back. I have mm-hmm. offered to come back and, like, guest lecture, but to get back into that, and because I was doing it full-time, teaching four classes.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than
I don't think I would do that again.
Expect as far as the work load. And I think it's the what you get back from the students. You can't really put a price on, and it's, for me, it was totally unexpected. Like when I was teaching, I didn't really think about, when I took the job, I wasn't really thinking about the students. And then when I was in the classroom, that's really where it felt like that was, you know, a big ROI, I guess.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, see them make such progress.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, they really liked my class because mm-hmm. as a practitioner, I had real jobs.
Right.
Most of the professors that have PhDs that have come up through academia have never had a real job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm trying to prepare them to teach them Excel skills and, you know, critical thinking and the kinds of things they mm-hmm. need to assess a business situation, they appreciate that because I can bring in real life examples that I did this,
right?
And this is what I learned from it. And mm-hmm. maybe I didn't do it right, but now I know. And you know, you get the mm-hmm. letters from the students afterwards when they get to their jobs. They send you back either letters or emails saying, thank you so much for preparing me for, you know, this job. Mm-hmm. yes, that's heartwarming. I definitely can appreciate that. But the other thing, I mean, some of the things that's going on in academia right now, and this is not in relation to the politics, mm-hmm. but how they deal with AI mm-hmm. is going to be a mm-hmm. real complex issue in every department at universities. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the use of AI, and now that they're talking about that AI can get into building Excel models and things like that, and, like, mm-hmm. that was part of my class, was teaching Excel models.
Yeah.
And if you could just go on, you know, the ChatGPT of Excel and tell it to print, give you a model, how do you navigate that as a professor and as, you know, an institution? So that's going to be a real challenge for them.
Sure. So your family, you have two kids?
I do.
Yeah, and they're going to school in the township? Or
they go to school at a private school in Farmington Hills.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a parochial school. Mm-hmm. And they're great. My daughter is turning 13 next month, full-fledged teenager, and my son is 9 and mm-hmm. loves sports.
Yeah. What else in the community? What else are you involved with?
I also sit on the board of the Bloomfield Historical Society. Mm-hmm. I got involved with them through being on the board, and they wanted a liaison to their board from our board, and I volunteered to do it. I love history. I think it's, you know, really interesting and fascinating, and especially the micro, you know, the micro look at just our community. It's not like the history of Detroit or Michigan. It's the history of Bloomfield Township. And,
sure.
You know, some of the folks that are on the board that I get to interact with are telling you, oh, well, you know, this corner used to be a mill, and this corner used to, I mean, there was a farm here and a horse, you know, stables over here. And, yeah. You know, hearing about what the community was like 50, 60, 70 years ago is just fascinating. And yeah. So I really enjoy that.
It's just another one of the things you're working on.
Yeah. I mean, that's a totally volunteer thing. You know, I go to the board meetings and, you know, we work on some issues. Mm-hmm. Like there's it's not a stable, farmhouse or barn.
Sure.
That's the word. There's a barn in the township that was abutting a developable lot. Mm-hmm. And the Bloomfield Historical Society said, this is a 150 pre-Civil War barn.
Right.
You know, that's still standing on Franklin Road. What can we do to save that? And so we've been kicking around various ideas from private funding, institutional funding. Mm-hmm. How can we preserve this piece of our history? It's not far from the Franklin Center Mill, which is...
I think it got moved.
They were talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... you know, the Franklin Cider Mill is not in Franklin; it's in Bloomfield Township.
Sure.
But you know, it's right near there, and so that community is one of the oldest parts of the township. And you know, so I just find that fascinating. That's just personally for me. I love getting into the history about it, and you know, hearing the stories from people. And
right. Well, and it's important to remember where we come from in all aspects. We have an open house coming up. We want to make sure we let people know that. It's this Sunday from 11 to 3, and Mike will be there.
Yep.
Yeah, what are you going to be doing?
Absolutely. So my department is going to be paired up with the fire department, which is great because everybody goes to the fire department.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about some of the services that we offer, and, you know, we're going to be giving away a little giveaway to the kids, and... So I think, you know, the staff here at the township has done just a tremendous job of planning for this. And unfortunately, you know, because of the pandemic, we had to go a few years without it. But it's really one of the best days for young families here in the township because they can bring their kids and they can ride in a police car and they can ride in a salt truck, a plow truck, you know, big plow truck. And they can, you know, see the inside of a fire truck and a, you know, ambulance and... Mm-hmm. You know, just see all the different things. We have the building department has little, you know, sets that they set up with hammers so people can, kids can, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
it's great.
There's going to be bounce houses, magician. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. And I think the weather's supposed to be really good too. So we're going to luck out. I think I heard it's going to be 78 and sunny. So everybody want to come out for that. And I think it was started because of Fire Prevention Week. Mm-hmm. So that's what the national week is. And then I guess different communities do events related to that. And I was talking to fire department. They said they're really focusing on kitchen fires right now. That seems to be the big thing that they're seeing a lot of that people aren't quite ready for. So that's what the demo will be, is kitchen fire and putting that out.
Yep, so that's always exciting.
That's going to be at 12:30 on Sunday.
Yes.
So anything else that you'd like to tell people about yourself?
I love being here. I love being involved in the community and helping people out. I would say if anybody has an issue, whether even if it's not a financial issue, whether it's with, you know, the tax bill, the water bills, or anything like that, just any kind of, you know, issues, reach out to me, reach out to my department. You know, we'll connect you to the right people if we're not the right people.
Your email and number is up there on the screen, so they will be able to email you and call the main number.
Or you can just email treasurer@Bloomfield Township. That will get to all of us as well. So, yeah, I absolutely just reach out to my office. We will connect you to the right people if we're not the right people, but
we'll get it done.
But we will absolutely get it done. Right. And, you know, we just want to be there to serve everybody.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Hope to see you, some of you that are out there at the open house, and I'll definitely see you on Sunday.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next time.